A key but difficult issue many Massachusetts teachers face is how to instruct students about racial differences throughout American history. Textbooks are usually considered a critical classroom tool for teachers. Even though there's no national data on this, when it comes to teaching the history of race, WBUR's Tanya Mosley has found that more and more Massachusetts teachers are moving away from traditional textbooks.
When Iowa Congressman Steve King asked on MSNBC, what other racial groups besides white people have made significant contributions to civilization? Twitter went wild.
You obviously were a D student.
What universe does he live in? Try reading once in a while.
Have you ever read a history book?
And during the Democratic National Convention, when First Lady Michelle Obama referenced how far black people in America have come by saying,
I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves.
Pundits like Fox News host Bill O'Reilly argued the slaves who worked in the White House were treated pretty well.
Slaves that worked there were well fed and had decent lodgings provided by the government.
Could it be that we have vastly different views on racial history in the United States? Didn't we all learn the same things in school? The simple answer is no. To make the point, Lowell High School social studies teacher Robert DeLosa opens up a Prentice Hall textbook on U.S. history from the Civil War to present day. The book is over 20 years old, and some schools still use it. It's about 1,000 pages long. DeLosa points to the book's treatment of the Civil Rights Movement and other moments in history where black people were a focal point. In the textbook, these topics take up just a few pages.
So we're talking about a total of maybe 10 pages in 1,000.
10 pages in 1,000 on the story of black people in America post-Civil War. And then there's the language.
One of the things that very much troubles me as an educator, and I'll let you read these section heads that occur in the book.
It says, Problem of Civil Rights, the Black Revolt.
Right, and so it's almost antagonistic in its language.
As DeLosa turns the pages, he points to another example.
Title again.
Black Revolt and Youth Rebellion.
Right, so a student who would be using a textbook like this, the last images they would have of the Black Rights Movement would be that it's revolt, it's rebellion, and it's problematic.
Many teachers will tell you they've been complaining about this for decades, and there's been particular interest over the last few years. In 2010, the state of Texas changed its social studies curriculum to what some have complained is the whitewashing of U.S. history. We contacted 283 districts in the greater Boston area to find out what textbooks they use to teach high school U.S. history. 141 districts responded. And what we found is that there is no one textbook that every district agrees upon. At least 48 different textbooks, published by 21 different companies, are used across those 141 history programs. The state of Massachusetts provides guidelines on what to teach, but districts have lots of latitude on how they teach.
We're in Codman Square, which is in the heart of Dorchester. It is a vibrant, fascinating community.
Codman Academy principal Tabiti Brown says when it comes to teaching U.S. history, his school does not use textbooks as its main source. Instead, it focuses on primary sources, articles, and other materials. He explains the reasoning this way.
If one of our years of study is about the birth of the nation through Reconstruction, that is really a study of white, landed, heterosexual men making all these decisions about everyone else. I think that's too narrow of a viewpoint. It's an important viewpoint to understand, have students understand that that is part of history. It can't be the only story that's told.
You guys ready?
19-year-old Emmanuel Obianagwe graduated in May from Codman Academy. He remembers the moment he learned that maybe the history he had been taught was not the full story.
Because, you know, like, in middle school, like, you're taught that Christopher Columbus is just this big hero and, like, he did this, he did that. And then when you come into Codman, it actually opens your eyes and lets you in on the secret that he colonized it. Instead of, like, you know, going there and working with them to build the nation, like, he went in there and, like, forcefully took the nation.
Over in Cambridge, history and social science coordinator Adrian Stang noticed something this summer while looking through old history books for the district's fourth graders. It was the cover of a book about Native Americans that caught her eye.
So what I see here is a girl with kind of wavy blonde hair, a white girl on a horse. Next to her, a very light-skinned Native American boy.
The book is called Life of the Sioux Indians.
And then, so if you open the book, it's talking about the period from 1800 to 1850. So the image in no way makes sense during that time period.
Stang says a white girl would likely not have been riding a horse with a Native American boy. She says the term Sioux is also outdated. To be fair, the book was published in 1973. But for decades, students have been reading this book. Stang says for districts that can't afford to order all new books, ones like this are actually a way for teachers to open up a dialogue about what might be right and wrong about it.
There is not one set narrative. It's really a debate about the past, so we want kids to engage in that debate.
Of the 141 districts we spoke with, we found that more than half, 64%, use textbooks as a secondary source, not the main one. Some cited cost. It can run upwards of $100,000 to replace textbooks for an entire high school history program. But most said there is a movement away from textbooks.
The text doesn't really matter as much as the conversations, the writing, and the skills and critical thinking strategies that the students are using to tackle that text.
As Lowell High School's curriculum coordinator, Amy McLeod, looks over some of the older and newer textbooks the district now uses, she points out there are generations of people who have been taught different slices of history.
Most of our teachers learned from books like this. Not all of them, but many of them did. So part of the work, and that's what we started yesterday and we'll continue working on this year, is having the teachers in the building rethink their own understanding and perceptions and perhaps misconceptions about race.
A shift towards a broader and perhaps more complete view of history in America. For 90.9 WBUR and Edify, I'm Tanya Mosley.